morning. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Man, it's so good to see you. For those of you maybe visiting with us for the first time, or maybe you haven't been here in a while, my name's Stephen, and I'm one of the pastors here. You know, we started a series last week, really just preparing for this season. We just got over Thanksgiving. How many of you guys are excited? Christmas is here. It's here. If you didn't notice when you came in, we literally threw up Christmas over the week, so it would be out here. All the decorations are up. This is one of my very, very favorite times of the year. And you know, it's amazing in this time of the year how it seems like the days get a little shorter. It kind of seems to feel a little bit lazier, but for whatever reason, for me, and even before ministry, it seems like the holiday season has always been the busiest season. Has anybody ever felt that? Like, it's kind of like, I know we get all this time off, but it's like I tell my staff all the time, I'm like, okay, yes, you're off Thursday and Friday, okay, but we still have like Thursday and Friday work that needs to get done. Anybody relate? Like, we still have stuff we have to get done. So what happens is we're all fast and we really get on top of it and we make sure that things are done and we're out front. And as our teaching team was praying really 9 months ago, you know, we tend to forget that Christmas happens every year. You know, it's like we're always surprised. We're always like, oh man, I forgot that present, man. Couldn't have put that on my calendar. Come on, anybody. Like, oh, I forgot about this or I forgot about that party. But it happens every year. Our staff team was talking about it 9 months ago. And we were really just praying through what would we want to do through the season. And we thought the week before Thanksgiving and the week of Thanksgiving, we'd really just refocus our hearts and minds in this big attitude of gratitude. How many of you guys like really enjoyed Pastor Jim last week? If you were here, didn't he do a good job? Come on, he did a good job. And so this week, I'm going to talk about stress. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, this would have been really good before Thanksgiving. Come on, anybody. I don't know about you. We had over 20 people descend on our house like a bunch of spider monkeys. Most of them in our season of life, we have 4, 10 and under. But everyone else was like teenager age, you know? Like we had to literally hide. We played hide the cell phone. Come on, anybody. And it was like teenage and college age, and then my parents and my sisters, and it was just a lot of fun. But my parents were the only ones that like made it all the way through to the 8:30 service. They just went home. I'm gonna go back home, and my house is gonna be completely a wreck, even though we did everything we could to keep it in order. And as we look out on this season, we obviously have incredible things coming up as a church. I'm gonna talk about that in just a minute. But what we really wanted to do was really refocus our minds and hearts on what's most important. You know, a lot of times we can get into the busyness of the season, right? And we really forget where our eyes need to go. I say it this way to our team, you know, you'll find whatever it is you're looking for. You know, this season, like human beings, whatever you're looking for, you're gonna find it. If you're looking for more stress, if you're looking for more problems, if you're looking for more inconveniences, if you're looking for more attitude, come on, you're gonna find it. But if you're looking for more of God's work, if you're looking for more joy, if you're looking, right, for what God's doing in your world, did you know you can find it too? And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking really about joy. Today I'm going to open up just talking about stress. One of the things I want to do too, like I said, we have so many things going on here. I want to just take a moment to highlight a few of those, because you know, as we get ready to go into the new year, God's really doing something special in our church, and God's really there's a lot of different things coming up. One of the things that you may not know, the last year we've been praying for just the right lead pastor at our Belton location. For those of you may be joining us, we're actually a family of churches, and we've been on a hunt for a lead pastor, and our elders and our leadership team, we really wanted to make sure we went slow, we found the right person. And something happened last week that you may not even know about, but you're going to know now. We are super excited to announce that Pastor Keegan and Dara Sadu are now stepping into the lead pastor role at Belton. You can clap. Come on. This is a very big thing. Again, we're a family of churches, and so we really aren't about just one person with a platform and a microphone, but really a family that serves Central Texas. And so they're doing a great job. Pastor Keegan's actually been on our team for the last several months running our communications department. For those of you who wonder how all of that stuff gets done, it's all pretty and put together. Pastor Keegan's been leading that team. He's really been proving himself on the team. We're a very, very loyal, tight-knit group, and he's done such an incredible job on our team. He's also been teaching every week at Belton for the last 4 months. The people at Belton absolutely love him, and so we're super excited to install him. And so here's what I want you to do. First of all, if you go here, keep coming here. It's awesome here. We like Harker Heights better. Come on. All right? But what you can do is pray for him. Pray for his family. You know, there's something different than just being on a staff than there is actually stepping in and leading a church. And so there's gonna be a lot of pressure. There's gonna be a lot of different things that he's gonna have to come in and deal with. And in our model, they lead their church. You know, we help them regionally, but they really hold the weight of that location. And so be praying for him and his family. Be praying that God continues to grow that church. It has been growing over the last several months, and so we're super excited about that. So that's happening. Something else you heard from Pastor Martha and Luis, we are starting a Spanish service on January 8th. How many of y'all excited about that? Come on. Yeah. And this is so huge because it's not a ministry. It's not an appendage of Vintage Church. It is literally a Spanish location of Vintage Church. I had a member of our communications team bring in our kind of about us book. And by the way, if you've not become a member of the church, you can do that by going to vintage.church/membership, and you can download everything that you need. And there's all kinds of stuff that you can do there to become a member. But we're in the process right now of translating everything into Spanish. And so the About Us book is really a book that we created that we give to all of our new members that pretty much says this is who we are, what we're about, what we believe, how we work, what we do, all of those things. And I just saw the Spanish translation. And you know, as I was holding that book, I didn't understand anything on the cover. I don't speak Spanish, but it just felt like Vintage Church. And I want to encourage you, we're going to have a couple of these interest meetings as we're gathering that team. We need everything for that church that we need for our church, right? People operating different things and working in children's ministry and operating the energy bar and all of that. And so you may not even speak Spanish, okay, but you can still serve. Listen, Pastor Martha and Luis are like a testimony that love has its own language. Come on. It ain't English or Spanish. God brought them together as the body of Christ. I really believe we're launching a Vintage Church. And so that's gonna be really important. It's obviously too late for an RSVP, but I'm gonna invite you anyways because we got plenty of food. So at 1 o'clock, we're gonna be meeting back in here. If you're interested in helping, what we're gonna be doing now is really just getting everybody that's interested and then starting to kind of put them onto teams as we start to make a plan to launch January 8th. Okay, everyone good with that? Next thing I'm really excited about is we are launching a Christian school fall of 2023. It's pretty neat. Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. As a matter of fact, Daniel here is going to be our head of school. He's coming on our staff in the next several months. You can say hi to him. Stand up, Daniel. Say hi. He's not in every service, but he's in yours. Yeah, him and his wife, Maddie, are awesome. But they're helping us do that. And Sunday, December 11th, we're going to be really, it's really going to be an all-church meeting. And so that meeting is going to be, we want everybody. Maybe you're in here and you're a teacher, an administrator. Maybe you're in here and you're just a professional with some extra time. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you have a skill set. We're going to be putting together the team that's going to run that school. And here's the deal. The school is a partnership between parents, students, and the church. This is a ministry of Vintage Church. We want to talk to you about that. We also want you to help us solve problems that we haven't even thought of yet. And so maybe you can bring your expertise and help us as we do that. Sometime in January, February, we will do a public meeting to everyone else, and then we will likely start enrollment just before Easter for the fall 2023, what do they call it? Fall 2023 semester. School year. The new school year. There we go. It's been a while since I've been in school. So obviously lots of things happening here. Make sure you download the Vintage app and get those. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 16. Today we're going to talk about overcoming stress. We're going to start with an exercise. Probably good for us with all the family here and all of the food we've eaten. Here's what I want you to do. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. Doesn't that feel good? It just feels good. We're going to talk about overcoming stress. You know, we have a lot of people that really the difference, there's differences in how you experience stress. There's a lot of people, they're kind of, I call them stuffers. You know, they stuff everything in until they blow up. Right? And then some of us, we're just made with a short fuse. Anybody like that? Right? We just, you can always tell. There's some of us that would even say, you know, Pastor, I don't really actually even deal with stress. You know, I'm just the most stress-free person ever. To which I would say, well, we need to talk about your integrity and lying in the Bible. The truth of the matter is we all deal with stress. I heard something funny. I read something funny this week. It was kind of a playoff of Jeff Foxworthy's You Might Be a Redneck If. You remember that? Well, it was kind of like you might be stressed if. You might be stretched if you can achieve a runner's high by sitting up. That's funny. You might be stressed if the sun is too loud. You might be stressed if you ask the drive-thru attendant if they can get your order to go. Or you might be stressed if you're seriously considering the possibility of an espresso IV. Come on, anybody? Man, you know, when you think about it, we are likely living in one of the most stressful times in all of human history. With all of the advancements that we've made, with all of the improvements to how one lives, we've also become one of the most stressed cultures there are. And, you know, when you think about it and you look back into the past, and the past is very, very good to help you see and chart your future. As a matter of fact, everything in life is built on the foundation of the past. We have a culture that loves to deconstruct and rewrite the past, but what we really need to do is take the good stuff from the past and leave the crummy stuff, right, as we continue to build upward. And, you know, just the last 100 years, we moved from an agrarian culture through an industry age into the information and technology age, where now cell phones, text messages, and the internet literally make it almost impossible to get any time away. In addition to that, we're daily forced to cope with the onslaught of political fear, insecurity, financial uncertainty, constantly increasing job demands, relationship pressures, and much, much more. Now, some of you came in here thinking, I'm not stressed, but after I just listed all those things, now you're like, Pastor, you're stressing me out. Anybody? Anybody? We can see the effects of stress overload all around our culture. We see it hurting us individually. Physiologically, did you know 75% of all primary care visits are stress-related? 75%. It works out into our families. We see the divorce rates and the rates of runaway kids and all kinds of problems and abuse and all those things skyrocketing. Did you know it also works its way out into our communities? We've seen that recently in the last several months, these mass murder events, people just bottling it up, isolating, getting to unhealthy places until one day they just lose it completely. We can look around our world and we can see the effects of stress. Stress penetrates to the core of our very being. Now, again, you might be in here, you might be going, okay, Pastor, I don't know if I'm stressed. I don't know. Well, think about this for just a minute. Have you experienced any of these things in the last 12 months? Have you started a job? Have you ended a job and started a new career? Have your finances increased or decreased? Yes, stress comes from both. Have you started or ended school? Are you dating? Have you experienced a marriage struggle or maybe even divorce? Have you welcomed a new child? Have you experienced health problems? Have you faced the death of a loved one? How about this one? Do you know anyone that you care about that's experienced all or any of those things? The truth of the matter is there's a lot of things that cause stress. And what I want to do for the next few moments, and I have 17 minutes and I'm going to be on time because I've been fudging the clock the last several weeks. We're going to get back on schedule. What I want to do is I want to lay out a biblical template for you. You know, one of the things that's so awesome about the Bible is the Bible is really full of templates that are time-tested, that align with how God has organized this entire thing to work. And they're templates that we can overlay in our life to actually grow and develop. Did you know that there is a template for dealing with stress in the Bible? And every single template in the Bible always has underneath it what are called precepts. They are truths that don't bend. Okay, they actually are the structure for which the template is held up. And so I'm going to give you the underlying truth, the meta truth, right, behind managing stress the biblical way. You ready? This is exciting. Write this down. There is no such thing as a stress-free life. Just write it down. There is no such, it is a fairy tale, this side of heaven, to think that you can live a stress-free life. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that we're starting a Christian school is because the entire education system, and I know there are great people in that system, there are people who love God, who are salt and light, and they should absolutely stay there, okay? But our kids are sponges before they're salt and light. So it matters what we do with our kids. It matters that we don't push them into a mission field that they never signed up for and they're not ready for. That's important, okay? But there's a reason why we're starting a school, and here's the reason. I went back 120 years. Yes, 120 years. And I realized that the entire system, like many of the systems in our world, are built on this belief, this false belief, that if we just get a little bit better every day, we don't need God, that we can become God. We can cheat every little thing that the Bible says. We don't need a savior, that if we can just progress, right, we can progress past a need for anybody but ourselves. By the way, that's a humanist view. The humanist view literally believes that human beings intrinsically are born good and that the world makes them bad. How many of you know that's not what the Bible says? The Bible says because of sin, everyone is born into this earth, right? Flawed and in need of a savior. And so the very first thing we've got to get under control is understanding this side of heaven, okay? There is no such thing as a stress-free life. There is no utopia without Jesus Christ ruling from the Mount of Olives as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Reference the book of Revelation. We're not there yet. We're living a prequel to that moment, but this side of heaven, right, we're going to have to deal with stress. When you accept that, oh my gosh, everything becomes so clear. You can all of a sudden see God's template for overcoming stress in your life. Maybe you're sitting here going, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Where is that in the Bible? Well, actually, our founder, Jesus, says it this way in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you." I love that phrase. It's like your mom, it's like your parent, you know, they say, I've told you this before. Like, this was a theme of his ministry. They knew what he was about to say. I walk into a staff meeting with the people who've been with me longest. I walk in and I see something and they think to themselves, I know what he's about to say, right? This is literally that moment for his disciples. "These things I've told you," and every disciple goes, "Oh, I know, Jesus. Can't we just get more hope, love, and peace?" Man, I just love clicking on those 15-second, you know, build you up messages on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. Man, can't we get something nice and good, right? Here's what he says. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He goes on to say, "In contrast, in the world you will have tribulation." Another translation for tribulation is trouble. How many of y'all experienced some trouble? I might be sitting next to you right now. Don't look. This side of heaven, you are going to have to contend with stress. You're going to have problems. Look what he says. "But be of good cheer." You can translate that actually. It is the attitude of joy, which we're going to talk about in the next several weeks. It's an attitude of joy. "But be of good cheer." Why? Because I've overcome all of those things. Obviously, we cannot cut stress out of our life. So some stress is okay. So Pastor, if we can't avoid it, okay, let's talk about its negative effects and how we can overcome it. Stress becomes harmful, write this down. It becomes harmful and negative when it controls us. When stress is controlling every reaction you have, when it's controlling the lens by which you view everything, I tell our team this all the time, like our staff team, it's an incredible team, but we deal with lots of problems, right? Sheep can get messy. It is messy, right? They bite, okay? And if they're a goat, it's a whole nother thing. They don't even listen. Okay, and we get kind of worn down. We can get worn down and we can get kind of bummed, and I have to bring everyone together. Hey, remember, a shepherd's problem is to serve the sheep. Whatever the sheep has as a problem, that's our job. Matter of fact, if nobody ever had any problems, we wouldn't have a job. That's literally our job, right? So when does that job bury us? When we start to look at what God's given us as a burden instead of a blessing. That's why. It's the lens by which we view things. We start avoiding anything that's stressful. And as a result, our lives aren't fulfilling. They don't make a difference like they should. So let me define stress. Stress is what you and I experience when we become aware of the gap between our expectations and our reality. Stress is what you and I feel when we become aware that we're not where we want to be. When we look at where we are and we want to be somewhere else. Now, this is the beauty of God's template because it's motivated by truth and grace. That's the truth. The truth is the gap. How many of y'all have a truth in your life that like you don't really like to stare at? I know I do. Several of them. Other people like to stare at them and post about them. But anyways, how many of y'all have gaps that you're like, I'm not just going to go share that with everyone. There's a gap. This is the beauty of God's grace. When you can accept the truth, God's grace says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Those of you that have followed Christ, when you look back at your life, can you see a time? Can you see any victory in where you've come in that area? Or in other areas. See, that's the power of God's template, but you first gotta start with this understanding that the truth is, we know where we wanna be, but we're not quite there yet. So what I wanna do is I'm gonna talk to you about three truths from scripture about stress, and then I'm gonna give you some things to do. So I'm gonna talk about what the Bible has to say about it so we can understand it, and then I'm gonna give you some things that I swear, if you'll just practice these in the next 30 days, matter of fact, not even all four of them, just one of them. Ask the Holy Spirit, say, God, show me one of these. If you practice just one of these with the right understanding of stress, it'll change your life completely. Three truths. Not all stress is bad. Not all stress is bad. Tension is the key. Think about this if you're a guitar player. I'm not. But I've listened to a tuned guitar and an untuned guitar. And what is that about? That's about the tension of the strings. And if that tension isn't right, it's horrible. But when it's right, come on. It's so good. The same is true about stress. You can't get rid of all of it. The tension is actually good. The tension will actually grow you. Okay, but the second truth is important. Too much stress is harmful. Too much. Too much stress is harmful. Okay, not all stress is bad. Some stress is good. But if you put too much on, you're going to snap that string. I'm going to give an illustration that literally just happened. This happens frequently when I talk about these topics. The Lord literally humbles me the day before in an abject failure in the area. So let me talk to you about how this works. When you leave things unattended to in your life, they pile up, and you may not even mentally understand that they're all connecting, but you immediately start to feel it. You guys remember that big windstorm and all the hail we had? Well, we have this trampoline that has a net around it. It flipped over and bent up, you know, bent up all nasty ghetto-like. Well, it's been sitting in my backyard out my window. Every time I come home, I see it. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't like any disorder in their home. I can handle disorder in the church. When I get home, it's like my fortress of solitude. Things need to be put in their place. The kids have their own room they can mess up. They stay out of our rooms. Come on, anybody. So this is happening for weeks. I'm seeing it. I don't have time. I have to go through. We want to save the net because you can only buy the whole thing or not, whatever. We're trying to parts it, and we have all these ideas. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. I'm sitting there watching it, right? Then all my family comes, 20 plus of them, and they're all incredible, okay? But they're messy. Most of them are teenagers and college kids, and my mom and my sister, we did the best we could to keep this place going, but it's just dirty, you know? You just walk around barefoot. Don't do that in my house around Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's just, and it's messy. I don't like a mess. Anybody not like a mess? By the way, some of you are saying, well, I'm just messy by nature. No, you're not. The Bible says you're an image bearer of God. The Bible says that when God looked at the chaos of the deep, he spoke order into it. That's actually what fulfills us as believers, order. Now, your order might look different. You might be a different part of the process. You might be more creative, right, or a little more analytical, okay? But you're made to order things. It does bother you, and it does hang in there in those things. So that's happening the entire week, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm waking up at like 4:30 in the morning trying to get it all clean, and then they come in 5 minutes. It's a disaster again, and then they leave for a minute to go to a movie. Then I fix it all again, and so I'm doing this all week, all weekend. And then I have one day a year following Thanksgiving. This year, I picked Saturday to put up all the Christmas trees. Now listen, in my house, we like Christmas. We like Christmas decorations. We don't just have one tree, we have three trees. The kids have a craft tree. Remember, they're messy. We don't want all their junky ornaments on our tree. So they have their own, okay? That's in their room. Then we have the family tree. That's the stuff that makes the cut, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it better be good. Like, it better be good if it's going to make the tree. Okay? No images without coloring in the lines. You're going to get good before you put that on the family tree. So we got that tree, and that's in the living room. Then we have Kyla's tree. That's the decorated tree ain't nobody touches but her. It looks cool and perfectly put together, you know, until you step into the house and you realize that's not the case. And so we have three trees. I literally open up all three of them, and they all have lights in them, and all of them are dead. Not just dead, but blown somehow. And I have one day, you guys, one day. So what happens? I have a moment. Thank God it's around people I love and who love me. I've had it. I took the tree and chunked it across the garage, broke something else that I needed, and then spiraled downward. Too much stress is harmful. Long-term emotional stress results from deep feelings of unforgiveness, unresolved anger, chronic anxiety, fear, grief, guilt, shame, depression, or any feelings that include loss of control or feeling overwhelmed. Here's the third truth. You got to get this truth. What you perceive to be stressful to you is. So here's what I want to say to every older, wiser person. The worst thing you can ever say to somebody who's stressed out, ready? It's not a big deal. That's actually what sent me spinning. It wasn't Kyla, thank God she was at work. But anyways, because whatever's stressful to you is. And this is the beauty of a healthy family, both naturally and spiritually. The natural family is a picture of what we're doing here. Okay? A healthy family is always three generations. There's a reason for that. God designed it that way. God's covenant name is he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's how it translates. He's the God of kids, parents, and grandparents, and all three are needed. Any natural family that's missing one of those, there's a gap, there's a hole, and we can fill those gaps, but it's a problem. Any church that's predominantly one of those and not another, they're not well-rounded. For example, if they're just all a bunch of baby Christians, it's like an orphanage. I was adopted, that's not a blessing, it's a curse, right? If it's just full of a bunch of parents, it's a bunch of stressed out people trying to deal with the orphans, come on. And if it's full of a bunch of grandparents that don't have any kids, well, it has an expiration date because we're all gonna meet Jesus one day. So here's how it works. The kids bring life into the family. They do. They also bring disgusting smells. But they bring life anywhere you're around little kids. I mean, you can take the most bikered up or gangster or whatever dude, bowed up, whatever, and man, you get a little kid around them and they're like, ooh, da, boo, 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 boo. It's ridiculous. What is that about? They bring life. They're important. Parents are also important because we want to keep them alive. Human beings, no other creation, because of the size of our head and our ability to reason and be conscious, the gift of God, no other child takes that long to raise. I mean, I see these baby deer in like 1 year, man. It's like a little bitty fawn. Like the next month, it's like kind of jumping around on its legs. 2 months later, man, it's like running away. That's not like human beings. They take an incredible amount of energy to raise. Parents raise kids. Then you have grandparents. And grandparents do a couple things. Grandparents protect the children from their parents. Come on, somebody. But they're also right there with the parent saying, hey, when it all settles down, my parents did this. They let it all settle down. They know better. When it all settled down, they come around and say, man, that was really stressful. Hey, it won't always be this way. God's good. And let me tell you a little story about how I went bald and got gray hair. Come on, anybody. That's the power of all three generations. And what we see right now in culture is the generations are fighting and warring with each other. But we need every single one of them. So what you perceive to be stressful to you is. So how do you manage stress in 3 minutes? And you're going to get it in 3 minutes. First of all, you have to realize it's a tension to be managed, not a problem to be solved. If you treat stress like a problem, you're always going to be unhappy and frustrated. But if you treat it as this thing that's always going to be there, you just have to make sure that it's in proper proportion and it's being regularly managed, then you'll be good. So how do you manage stress according to the Bible? The first is remain in Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can be nothing. Many times what we do when we're stressed is we disconnect from God's people. We disconnect from God's ways. You know, you need more of God, more of church, not less of church when you're in the deepest, most stressful times of your life. And for you in here that you're military, this is something, I was a military wife for 11 years. Let me tell you something I learned. You need to get involved quickly. Okay, because here's what I'm saying. They get deployed, whatever. I've watched this over and over again. Military, you guys are like Spartan women. You're just like Spartan women. You just step up and take care of everything on your own. But guess what? It leaves you depleted, right? And then your spouse comes back and it's like all hell breaks loose. What is that? You didn't get what you needed. You need spiritual family more than ever, right? You've got to learn to remain in Christ. Next, you need to know God's purpose. We're going to talk a lot about this in the new year. You're going to hear me talking about a 12-month coaching system that we've put together here as a church. We've worked on it for several years called the Everyday Disciple, where we're really going to, it's really a biblical philosophy of life. When you know God's purpose, you can connect the dots with everything in your life. It's not just, stress is stressful because I'm only thinking about the tree and the trampoline. But when I back out and I can see the bigger picture, it allows me to react and to do things differently. It's knowing God's plan. You have to plan your life and set your priorities or someone else will, right? Okay, that's so important. Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, that I've already reached perfection. This is Paul talking. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. I'm not where I want to be. But I focus on this one. Everyone say one. This one thing, what is it? He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling me. The next thing we need to do is we need to know when to rest. We need to remain in Christ, know God's purpose, know when to rest. By the way, there's a difference between rest and leisure according to the Bible. Many of us, we can't rest because we don't know how to work. The work week for a Christian is 6 days. We see it modeled in the first pages of scripture. I tell our team all the time, you gotta work to rest. You do everything you can in 6 days so that on the seventh, you can give that to God. It's an offering. Does that make sense? Many of us, we live vacation to vacation only to have a vacation and need a vacation from our vacation. It's not how you're meant to go. Every 6 days, the seventh is rest. And here's what rest looks like. Focus on something that's not about yourself. Get your family and your loving. Guys, it's not a time to ditch your family and go to the lake. That ain't rest. Certainly not Sabbath rest. It's getting your, it's escape. It's good. Many of us, I felt like it this weekend, let me tell you. But that's not helpful. It's not helpful because the same problems are back when you get back. So rest, you have to work to rest. You give everything you can in your work. We're going to talk about how you do that in this next year. Okay, but every seventh day, literally, you go into God's house, you serve one, you sit one, right? You turn your eyes towards the things of God, which you probably weren't paying much attention to during the week, all right? So, so important. For our staff, we do this on Sabbath Fridays. We work on Sunday, quite literally, a lot, right? And so we do it all together on Fridays. And here's what happens. The younger members of our staff, the least, you know, they're growing up in their leadership. They always struggle with this at first because they think it's a right and they're entitled to it. But here's the thing. We talk about learning how to work hard and work smart. That's something that you compound over time. So to the degree that you're able to give it all you've got in the first 6 days is the degree to which you can really, really rest, knowing you've done everything you can. Does that make sense? So important. Next, know how to pray. Know how to pray. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next year in a series on prayer we're doing in the spring. But you need to know how to pray. I'm gonna give you a couple thoughts and then we're gonna close. You need to make a habit of meeting with God first. Look what it says about Jesus in Mark 1:35. It says this all over scripture, by the way. The prophets did this, the kings did, you see this theme. Now in the morning, I wouldn't say morning, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. Another translation of this same passage is, as was his custom. He did it all the time. Some of you are in here, you're going, hey, you know what, I'm not a morning person. Yes, you are. There is no such thing as a morning person, okay? They are developed and trained. They are not created that way. As was his custom, he got up before all the noise of the world. For me, that's about 4:30 or 5 because I have little kids. For my parents, it's about 11 a.m. Good Lord. Retirement looks nice. Come on, anybody. But my point is, what would happen if we just met with God first? Look what it said, two things. In the morning, solitary. No noise. Put your phone down. Just put it down. I've said that all week to my nieces and nephews. I literally, like, we hid their phones. It started out as a game, but they started getting very, very stressed out. About 3 days later, they were good. It takes a little while to detox all that garbage. Sometimes you need to put your phone down. Meet with God first. See what he has to say about what you're feeling, what you're thinking. It'll absolutely change your life. I love this passage as we close, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all of it, and say all. Not some of it. Cast all of it. All of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for everything you're doing in our church family. I thank you, Father, for this season that we're in as a church, for all the things you're gonna do and all the things you have done, both in our lives personally, but also in our lives collectively. I pray, Father, that this week is we continue this conversation in small groups around the dinner table, maybe even in the car or in the commons. I pray that your Holy Spirit would highlight one of those four things that we need to work on. We can't do all four at once, at least not to the degree that you want us to. But Holy Spirit, you know the one that we need above all the others. And I pray, Father, you would just highlight one. And then the next 30 days, God, we would just get freedom in our life practicing this template that you've given us. Father, I also pray for those in here that don't know you. I pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, you would draw them to you. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please, for the next few moments, no one looking around, if you can avoid getting up, please don't. I believe one of the most important things that we do every single week in every service at every location is we provide a place and a space for people far from God to draw near to him. You know, maybe you're in here and you're far from God. I don't have to shine a microscope on your life to I don't need to look deep, but you know. You know if you're far from God. You know if you're just playing or if you're serious. Maybe at one point you've given your life to Christ, but you've walked away. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. You've tried everything and nothing's working. My advice to you, you can never be all that you were created to be apart from your Creator, and you cannot know him apart from surrendering your life to Christ. In a moment, I'm going to pray for those who are far from God that don't want to be. Maybe that's you. I want to be able to pray for you. I'm going to lead you in a step that's the first of many. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to do any of that weird stuff. Before I pray, I want to know who wants my prayer. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, I'm far from God, would you pray for me? Would you just put your hand up halfway and put it back down? Your hands are going up all over the room. You put it up. It's just acknowledging between me, you, and God that you're serious. Thank you. You put your hand up and put it right back down. Jesus says that those who acknowledge me before my Father, before men, I'll acknowledge me before my Father, but those who don't, I won't. It's very, very important that of your own free will, you say, yeah, that's me. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer based on a scripture, based on a template of getting right with God. Romans chapter 10:9 says that it's through the act of free will that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You put him over your life. It's through believing what he did in dying for your sins on the cross. It's through resting your life in his hands in the power of the resurrection. It's through that act of free will that starts or restarts a relationship with God. It's not through anything you can do on your own. It's not through willpower. It's not through any goodness that you have in you. It's through leaning on Christ. It is the first and most important step to being made right with God. There are other steps, but not before this one. And as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, listen, if you raise your hand and you really meant it, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. As a matter of fact, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but there's going to be Christians all around you that are also going to speak this prayer so as to encourage your faith. But here's what I want you to do. If you really meant it, I want you to say this prayer just loud enough where you can hear your own voice. And really mean it. Let it be an expression of why you raised your hand. I believe on the other side of this prayer, God's going to tell you to do something. My advice is, do what he says. We're also going to give you some next steps. But first, this is the most important step to take. Church, we believe in what they're doing. Let's all pray this prayer together. Let's pray, Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for living a perfect life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I believe that what the Bible says about you is true, that you're good and that you're God. I believe on the third day after Jesus was killed that he rose from the dead. I believe he conquered death once and for all to give me eternal life once and for all. Today, of my own free will, I choose to surrender my life to him. I choose to make him my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Lead me and guide me. Jesus, today, I'm yours. It's in your name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.